Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Thursday night, so we are talking about knowing God. We're looking at objective ways, things we can do to cooperate with God in our mutual goal of having and enjoying an intimate relationship with God, spirit, soul, and body. In your spirit, you already know Him, so what we're looking at is our soul and our body becoming one with our spirit so that the life that we're already enjoying in our spirit is available to our soul and our body. And once that happens, it's likely, though it's not part of the, you know, there's no conditions on this, that that life that's in us will be available to flow out through us, to others, to this earth, to whatever projects and purposes God may have for it. So we can look at the whole purpose and plan that God has for us as being very relational between us and Him, but how that works is worked out is very circumstantial. A lot of times we compartmentalize our relationship with God. You know, what is ministry? What is Christianity? What is religion? What is God? And we can very often say, okay, if I've read my Bible, if I've participated in, you know, whatever is going on in my church or home group, if I've, you know, been nice to my neighbor or successfully dealt with whatever crisis I have going on at any given time without losing my temper, then I'm doing okay. That's, you know, what we look at as very often as what it means to be a Christian. What God instead wants us to begin to really have our senses quickened in regards to is seeing these rather as circumstances to endure. They're instead opportunities to learn to rule and reign. And this is not just about our, well, for some, it's not just about our day-to-day things, but it can also be about big, huge things, you know, changing the weather, what's going on in our government, our, you know, discoveries of for the cure of cancer. Now, others, that's what they're searching for. And God wants you to be aware that it's also about your healing and peace and rest and your relationships with those around you. We've talked many times before about how very often the context we have for knowing God is based on the relationships we have with others in a familial setting, like our parents, our father, our those we know in terms of what it was like growing up or the example that we've seen set by those in authority in the church. And though God, you know, recognizes that that's where we're at, We need to know that those are things that He is going to be changing. And as we recognize His presence, His movement, his making himself known to us, the lesser expectations, those misconceptions we have about him will drop. Some of them we'll have to work at because they've affected our thoughts and our emotions and our decisions, and so to such an extent that we think or feel or behave according to those misconceptions. When he changes those, we may really have to work at, in cooperation with him, of course, through dependence, on getting over our first reaction to a situation. If he's teaching us that dependence on him does not look like calling 100 people about a prayer concern or posting it so other people can pray for it, that instead bringing it to him and asking him what he wants in regard to a situation and then letting it go at that point. You know, if he wants us to do more, following through with that, but then other than that, that it's not something that it's our obligation to change his mind or get him to move in a certain way. That may take time for us to be able to put down our compulsion, our habit of dialing the phone or emailing a bunch of friends. And it may take a change of mind where we really, you know, and this is where that freedom to make mistakes comes in. We are certainly not going to allow ourselves to enter any kind of condemnation or guilt if we do do fall into that whatever habit God's dealing with. So there's certainly not any condemnation or challenge. We are free to make mistakes, and we will make mistakes. And that making a mistake is not a reflection in any way, shape, or form of how we're doing. Our recognition, our acknowledgement of how we're doing is to ask God and asking him, Lord, how are we doing? What's going on? Am I missing something? And trusting him. If he can't make himself clear to you about how you're doing and if there's anything else you should be doing, I wonder, if we really stop and think about it, doesn't it seem like arrogance to think that we can figure it out, what we're missing, what we're doing wrong? And so the more we get used to just going to him, the more that becomes the new habit. Turning to God, depending on him, what do you want in this situation? Lord, remind me again, what were we doing this for? When we need encouragement, when we need direction, when we need motivation, when we need peace, where do we go? We go to him. And he is a person. And the more we turn to him, the more we find out. Most of us are familiar with the concept, at least, of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet, we know the term Trinity is not anywhere in the Scriptures. And there's really no way to delineate or define that God ever meant us to perceive him as three-parted. He's, you know, a many-membered body. We are all part in him. We don't even know how we work together, spirit, soul, and body. So to think, okay, this is how God works, and this is how the Son talks to the Father, and the Father to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit to the Son, we may be putting way too much emphasis on our own understanding and our own trying to understand something so that we can understand God. And again, we've talked about the necessity more and more of leaning not unto our own understanding, but allowing God to reveal sometimes just plain old information. This is how I do things. And just accepting it. And this goes back to how important it is for us to be able to recognize His voice and then what to do with it. What to do about His voice, what to do about hearing Him, and how to test it. He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what we need to learn. He knows the tests we need to take. He needs the homework. He knows the teachings we need to receive from Him, and the skill and the experience. Since our goals are the same, we are assured of victory. He's raising you up to be a mature son. Now, that's not a spiritual reference, because as a spirit, you are already a full son. But your soul and your body are keeping you from being able to live in this world to rule and reign as a full son. So it is your soul and your body that are being dealt with, not your spirit. That's why God can always say He is well pleased with you. Because you are His son, and you are merely learning how to behave as His son. How to live and move and have our being in Him as a son of God. So we started talking about, we've been talking about waiting on Him and some of the things that happen while we wait for Him and how we can miss Him through that process. And recently we've been talking about the practical consequences of waiting. And how the first consequence is a relief. Learning to wait on God is something we can all do, regardless of our circumstances, our skills, our abilities, our education, our understanding, the amount of time we have. This is something, waiting for Him is something we can all do. Over time, it's something we will all learn how to do 24 hours a day, regardless of what else we're doing. So when we realize that God is waiting for us to wait, and that waiting is something we can do, doing it can take the pressure off of us as we learn to rest and let Him do the work through us. So instead of having to perform or achieve anything, to be productive or, you know, mature in our own standards, we learn to rest and we recognize we don't have to do anything to get a blessing from or a connection with God. So, again, we rest in that realization that all the requirements of relationship with Him have already been paid for. And we are doing, if we are going to Him and asking, Lord, what shall I do? That's all we are required to do. Now, when He says, okay, I want you to learn how to do thus and so, that's what we do. We take it seriously. We take this, our time here on this earth, as an opportunity, and we value it. So another thing that happens during this waiting period, and hopefully you're being able to follow through on having set aside a certain time with God, scheduled into your regular time, where you're able to experience His presence in your life more and more. And hopefully you've started to experience that relief, that lessening of the burdens, that you're doing all you need to do and you're making yourself available. Another consequence of waiting, then, is to have your senses quickened. Now, some of these may even be our natural senses, but in most part, what we're talking about is having our supernatural senses quickened. Most of us don't even know what our supernatural senses are, let alone being able to tell how dull they are. And this is one of the things that happens, is that through the process of waiting, we find out, we get catch glimpses and hopefully become more and more comfortable and familiar with what is really going on in the supernatural realm. And this is where your soul, the realm of reality in which your soul dwells, whereas your mind, will, and emotions have their own senses, intuition and conscience and consciousness and awareness of other activities going on. We have deja vu, and we have all kinds of knowing who's going to call when the phone rings. These are things we pick up because we may be more sensitive than someone else, or we just have that. Very often when we're tired in one area, our senses in another area pick up the lack, pick up the slack in that area, and we know things or can endure things that otherwise we might not be able to. So the Lord Himself is changing us in ways we can't even imagine. And then He provides us with opportunities to test what our senses are picking up. Over time, His voice, His presence becomes easier to recognize, and His ways, the way He does things, become more obvious to respond to. We recognize Him more. His presence comforts, encourages, leads, guides, and directs us ever more subtly. The more our focus is fine-tuned on the things of the Lord, the more the things of the natural realm become dim. So we think very often that the more we are in tuned with God, the more striking His presence will become. You know, we'll begin to see angels and, you know, things in the sky and activities and, you know, all kinds of surprising things. And that may happen. But it's just as likely that it will be an even more subtle way that He begins to attract our attention. It's a good thing when God doesn't have to shout, when He can whisper and we recognize His voice and we say, "Yes, Lord, I'm here. What's up?" His presence becomes our home, and we find ourselves at peace in our home, with Him, with others, and with ourselves. It's a perfect fit to be at rest in Him. And so the more we experience that peace, the less waiting on Him becomes a burden. And we understand what it means to taste and see that the Lord is good. We experience Him. We taste Him. And then we see what He does in us and through us. But we experience Him first. The next thing that happens in us, or another thing, there's no order in these, and these are certainly not the full extent of what happens within us as we are learning to wait. And the process of learning to wait is just the process of forming the habit of waiting, because it's not something you will ever stop doing. It's like learning to breathe. Once you learn to breathe, you're not going to stop. You know, once you learn to walk, it doesn't mean you're learning how to walk and then you're going to go back to crawling. The reason you learned to walk was so you could become good at walking. So now you're learning how to wait so you can become good at waiting. So for certainly, don't look at this as a burden. This is going to become a part of your way of life, as part of your source of life, of experiencing the eternal life within you. Now, setting aside the time and taking certain actions, again, that's the forming of the habit. Once that habit is formed, the Lord may or may not release you from having a set time for waiting. Like I said, with the learning to walk, you no longer have to learn how to walk. You know how to walk. So you walk when you need to. And that's what we're looking at, learning how to wait. Same thing with learning how to speak. We don't learn how to talk, how to form words, how to communicate, just so we can stop doing that. We can get what we, you know, we can get our mess, what we want to say across, and then forget how to talk. It's so we can talk, so we can communicate. So we learn how to wait, how to be with Him, how to cultivate that lifestyle of quietness, being quiet with Him and before Him and in ourselves, so we can wait, so that we can be quiet, so that we can be aware of His presence, having had our senses tuned to His presence. So the learning to wait results in waiting, developing the habit where it comes to be a full part of our lives. So another thing that happens is our wounds are healed during this time. The more time we spend with the Lord, the more liberty and opportunity He takes in bringing our soul and our body into alignment with our spirit, which is already in alignment with His spirit. Though nothing may appear to be happening on the surface during our times of learning to wait, the Lord is doing a deep work without our interference. He heals wounds. He speaks to our mind. He speaks to our will. And He speaks to our emotions. Life and healing and encouragement and change. He provides guidance, direction, encouragement, and wisdom, all often without our necessarily even knowing about it in our consciousness, in our awareness. We find out about it that he's made these changes, that he's healed these wounds, that he's provided wisdom. Because we start noticing that we don't react to stress the same way. The decisions we were struggling with last week now have clear answers. The problems are still the same, but now they aren't as important. Or the way through them has become clear. And we are no longer controlled as much by the rejection by others. We know we all will deal with rejection. So we recognize that we have to learn where to go to get healed and not to read anything into being rejected. It's not about us. Being rejected is going to be a normal part of our life here on this earth. And really, unless God makes it your business, being rejected and the one who rejected you is really none of your business. Again, unless the Lord makes it your business. And by that, I don't mean, okay, well, he made it my business because we both go to the same church. No, you take it to him. There may very well be times when he says, yes, I want you to go to this person and let them know. Call them on it. That they were wrong in what they said, for instance. And that you'd appreciate them not doing it again. And hopefully down the road we'll get into some practical experiences in dealing with these kinds of things. But it's going to be dependent on God. Not on, okay, this is the formula. This is how to deal with stress, rejection, crisis in the church or within relationships or in decision making. We'll start with certain things, but it will always be the reason we will start with a process and procedure is so we know, okay, this is the question to ask God. And then after that, this is the next question we ask God. And then depending on that answer, this is the next question we ask God. So what's becoming ingrained in us is that every step we go to God, we ask him. Now soon it's that turning that becomes so a part of who we are that, you know, think about it. In order to turn to God, you have to have turned away. By that, instead of relying on his strength, we turn back to our own. So by learning to consistently turn to God, eventually he will bring us to the point where we stay turned to him. Our focus, our mind, will, and emotions, and even our body will be in alignment with him permanently. I have no idea when that's going to happen or what it will look like. But that's the goal, to be one with him, with our being complete, spirit, soul, and body. So we'll be getting back together again to talk about this subject next Thursday, and then Monday and Tuesday we'll also be getting back together at 6:30, and then on this Saturday we've got a 10 o'clock continuing of the series, Setting Supernatural Goals. So hope you're doing your homework there. And just a reminder, there is that chart on the profile page that you want to, you know, keep handy, because this very often will help you to remind you of what's going on in the supernatural realm and in the natural realm. Don't forget to visit the blog. We're posting a lot more frequently. And we've got a sign up there for the subscriptions if you're interested in that. So have a great evening, and we will be getting back together on Saturday, and I will see you then. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas, Prepare Radio.